We get to read more from God's Word as we worship Him this morning. And this morning our scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, and let's read at least the first 23 verses. Could read the whole chapter, we'll go to 1 to 23. And our text this morning is verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loves him that follows after righteousness. Correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way, and he that hates reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Let's stop there. Reading the Proverbs, the wise sayings of the Lord for us in all generations. So the sermon this morning is on family life, biblically speaking, starting just from Proverbs 15, verse 20. Family, biblically speaking, that's the subject of this morning's sermon. And it's the second sermon in our new series, little series on different issues, biblically speaking. Last week we spoke about unity, Christian unity, biblically speaking. Today, family, biblically speaking. And it's true, this topic was chosen for today, especially also in view of our society celebrating Mother's Day today. While this month our country and much of our world celebrates so-called Mother's Day and next month so-called Father's Day, the reality is at the same time our country, while forsaking God and His Word, is disregarding so much about family that God would have us know. It's not surprising. We're losing the biblical view of family. And so, as Christian church, we need to preach and teach on this subject from time to time. And we need to pray that we know what the Scriptures teach and that we model what the Scriptures teach about family, biblically speaking. At the same time, The Christian church is to offer by the gospel real hope and compassionate help in all the brokenness and misery that is experienced in many a family in our times. Surely all of us know and can even tell personally of real challenges and deep sadness in relation to marriage and family life. What tears are shed in many a home because of family sinful and unresolved breakdown and strife and tension in one form or another. There are also among us those who know the sorrow of the loss of family members, the loss of a dear mother or father through death. How many there are, too, who long for marriage and having children, but have not yet been given this blessing. Well, in this one sermon on family life, biblically speaking, we can barely touch the surface on this very important subject, but it is good that we underscore and hold faithfully to some basics that we need to know and seek to uphold faithfully, especially in our 21st century secular, sinful, troubled society. We read from the Holy Scriptures from the book of Proverbs, and this book, you know, was mainly written by King Solomon. And he was given much wisdom from God, but he also painfully had learned in his own foolishness the sorrow of departing from God's ways. One study Bible states a main purpose of the book of Proverbs being, quote, to guide God's people in practical religion that applies faith in God's promises and obedience to God's law to every sphere of life. How good regularly to read this book, the book of Proverbs, and to do so prayerfully, asking the Lord that your life and mine be directed by its wise sayings. When have you last read through this book of the Bible? The book of the Proverbs deals with so many areas of everyday life and the issues and challenges we face. And now just focusing on family life, biblically speaking, consider what we can learn, starting just with Proverbs 15:20. What does this text say? Listen, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son despises his mother. A foolish man despises his mother. From this text, let's consider the following truths. Biblically speaking, starting just with Proverbs 15:20, that's our theme. Notice for one, from this text, the implied divinely given structure for family. What is the proverb again? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Look how the proverb speaks of a father and a mother. Children, what do you think of when you hear the words father and mother? A father is a man, and a mother is a woman. A father is a male figure in the home, and a mother a female figure in the home. Family life, biblically speaking, is something God ordained and designed, and He designed it to begin with the marriage of a man and a woman. When God created man and instituted marriage, He didn't make Laura and Eve, or Adam and Steve, but the man, Adam, and the woman, Eve. We need to state this as something that is absolutely and unchangeably the way God planned it, and that this remains always the one only true way of blessing in family life. God didn't only so instruct us about this basic unit of family life, but He obviously made us naturally and biologically this way. Therefore, same-sex oneness attraction and relationship and marriage and parenting is only always sinful and unnatural and something that is abominable to God and destructive for ourselves and our society. A gay politician in the USA in the 2020 presidential race recently said that if others are critical of his same-sex belief and practice, that their issue is not with him, but with God, our Creator. But such a remark, congregation, only shows all the more the sinful rebellion and defiance of fallen mankind. We go our own wicked and beastly ways and then dare to blame God for our sinful desires and choices in life. Don't we see so much of this in our perilous evil times? But no, congregation, let's keep the biblical perspective on marriage and family life as God directed and designed it to be. We read in Genesis 1:27, God created the world, and on the sixth day, God in climactic fashion created man. So we read, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in Genesis 2 verse 24, with God's institution of marriage and family, God further says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Later in the Bible, clearly so in Leviticus chapters 18 to 20, God forbids all adulterous relations, and especially to same-sex adulterous relations, as something most offensive and unnatural before God and our neighbor. Well, admittedly, this is being much challenged in our times, and especially our children and youth are being bombarded with the relentless, sin-sick agenda and propaganda of what is still, thank God, relatively small minority groups like the LGBTQ, etc. groups. And the whole gender and transgender crises of our times is simply also both willful defiance and blind ignorance and wicked rebellion against God as the creator of our gender and the one who designed only two genders, with each equally wonderful in their own role and way. Dear congregation, and especially now, dear children and youth in church, don't allow yourself to fall into the false teaching of all who foolishly and slyly promote anything different from what God's Word clearly states in His inspired Word. Family life begins with a man and a woman joined in holy lifelong marriage bonds, and this is the standard we need continually to uphold, even in the midst of all the brokenness and misery of sin. With any adulterous or same-sex attraction or gender confusion, you and I need to go to God and ask for His direction and for His forgiveness of sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. Let's not try to change the Word to our sinful desires and to our culture around us, as most sadly happens, even with Christian churches. But let's submit rather, time and again, to the Word of God. Yes, regardless, whatever Satan and this ungodly world and our sinful flesh might wish or pursue, or as so many others, even governing authorities, demand from us. I want to say here too, though, anyone who has struggles in this regard, with our first point even about the structure of family as God designed, pray God to help you to listen to His precepts. And if needed, please get encouragement in His ways from other Christians, also from the brothers of consistory, pastor and elders, and if that would be helpful to you. To have struggles in this matter, even with our first point now, can be a reality. But it's what you do with those struggles, responding Christianly or not, that is crucial. Well, enough said about our first point, the structure of family life, biblically speaking. How thankful when this basic structure of family life has been the home life many of us have grown up with, most of us. At the same time, let's remember those who live in single-parent homes because of the death of a parent, or because of the painful reality of divorce in marriage, for whatever reasons. Let us think too here of those who are widows or widowers. We should not take for granted, congregation, a father and mother in the home. And let's be so thankful for both our parents when living still. And if only one remains, treasure that parent much. Don't let Mother's and Father's Days be only one day every year, but every day, every year. For isn't this the direction of God's Word in Commandment 5, really? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Exodus 20:12. Here, let's move on to our next main point. And see, secondly, from our text, the implied divinely given understanding with family. Let me repeat the proverb to bring out this point. The implied divinely given understanding with family. The proverb declares, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. What's the implied divinely given understanding with family life here in this proverb? Well, that family life, as God designed it, is the place of godly instruction and example in the way of the Lord and His Word. Yes, God instituted that family, that husband and wife might encourage each other in God's ways, in living to His praise, and that in that context, to raise their children, if God gives them children, in the truth and way of the Lord. This is implied understanding, isn't it, in the text, that in our families, the children's are raised in the gospel way of grace and truth and godliness and in genuine Christian love and obedience. Each family home is to be a covenant-keeping home where parents serve in God's name to shepherd their dear children in God's gospel way. And when the children grow up, to have them grow up in the joyful, loving nurture and reverence of the Lord. Think here of the words of Moses as God's mouthpiece to the covenant people of Israel back in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9. We read there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates." Well, this all is about faithful, diligent teaching and upbringing of our children in the way of the Lord. And don't we read similarly in Ephesians 6, Paul instructing Christians in the New Testament church? He says there, "And ye fathers," and this applies to mothers as well, "provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This is the understanding with family life, as also reflected in the whole book of Proverbs. When you read through it, you find text after text, passage after passage, where Solomon or the other writers of the Proverbs, in a family context, are giving godly instruction in God's ways and godly warning against the pathway of sin and disobedience before the Lord and His will. One commentator on the book of Proverbs writes in regarding to this book, quote, or in regarding to this responsibility, quote, "It's a sweet employment and an honorable place to be mediators for our own children, bearing up to God, for our own children, bearing up to God their need and bringing down to them God's will. This is a kind of mediation not derogatory to Christ. It is not presumptuous priesthood, but rather it is a humble and loving holy ministry appointed and accepted by God Himself for us and our families. It belongs to the structure both of the kingdom of nature and of the covenant of grace." Well, how true this is. And in light of this divinely given responsibility, dear parents in church, it is fitting for me to ask you here, is your home, is my home, whatever our circumstances at home, a place of godly instruction and holy and happy example in God's ways, in accordance with His Word and will? Is family worship a common practice in the home, even on a daily basis, as a priority matter, even when in the timing of it may have to change periodically as the children grow up? Is God's Word, the Holy Bible, more just a closed book on the family living room table, treated like a treasured ornament because it looks good? Or is it a book devotedly, diligently read from and taught from and promoted as wonderful words of life for us and our children in the generations? Along with the instruction from God's Word, is it clear that in the home, that as parents, you want all things to be directed in the home in line with God's Word? Yes, also how you relate as husband and wife, and how you relate with your children, what entertainment you allow in the home, what education you look for your children, what priorities you have as a family. Is it clear in your home and family too that you want faithfully and consistently to honor the Lord's days, and that you have a great love and appreciation and care for Christian worship in the Lord's church and for the Lord's church? Do you reflect in your home and in your family life that being a member of the Christian church and to be able to attend regularly under the preached word is something counted by you and observed by the children in you and from you as a matter of chief delight for you as parents? Or do you, by your example, reflect more a lack of devotion and so much inconsistency in this regard? Do your children in regards to church see and hear more, perhaps only repeated criticisms and negativity about the church and those who attend there, including consistory members perhaps? How sad when children on the way home from church or between church see very little or any reflection of true love to God and for His people from us. Should that be the case? Or if the children observe only hypocrisy in our ways while we pretend so much to be worshipful in public, but on the home front we're everything but godly and worshipful. Oh, how much damage that can do in our children's upbringing, never mind how dishonoring it is to God Himself. Dear congregation, the book of Proverbs and all the Bible teaches us our home and family life is to be a place of true and faithful, loving worship and praise to God. Yes, a place where a humble and hearty example is given of seeking and loving the Lord and His church and kingdom above all else. Is it so in your homes? Our homes are to be places where parents not only teach about the great need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but show genuine love to Jesus as only Savior and Lord. Do you so instruct your children in love? Not only that they need to ask daily for forgiveness of sins looking to Jesus, but in a way that they see you need the same as parents time and again. You know, sometimes youth have said to me, quote, "My parents have never apologized for anything in their lives, and I've never once heard them say sorry genuinely to me." Well, though such a statement may be colored and exaggerated, let's just not, as parents, give them reason even ever to say something like that. Because which father and mother will not know and confess how often we can fail in our parenting, even just with losing our temper too easily or being inconsistent and sinful still in our words and in our ways before them? Well, beloved, do you agree with me that I'm not stretching the text here in its teaching to us, also in regards to our second main point now? That clearly there is a divinely given understanding with family, that in our homes and families, we as parents are to lead in the way of the Lord and His Word by precept and example. How good when that is done here also among us. And praise God when we may experience that. Many of us have been blessed being raised in Christian homes. Not perfect homes, but Christian homes. Don't we also pledge before God and His church when we give our children to be baptized that we will, among other things, as parents, God helping us, do our utmost to train them in the fear and the love of the Lord and His Word? Sadly, in how many homes in our country and even in church families, there is hardly any teaching and training of the children in God's ways. How many are left to train themselves in whatever way they think best, or that their friends decide, or the way of false religion, or the way the government determines, as our secular world calls for it. Congregation, shall we learn from God's word about family life, biblically speaking? Yes, starting just with Proverbs 15:20. Not only about the divinely given structure of family, but the divinely given understanding with family. Marriage and family life is to be lived for the glory of God and for the good of His church and kingdom. It's to be for the promotion of the salvation of our children by God's grace, His sovereign grace and mercy. Well, praise God when this is known and reflected in our families, and let us repent and change from our ways where this has been forgotten and put aside in our homes. You may ask at this point, Pastor, how is this sermon so far a gospel sermon? Where is Jesus in this sermon as Savior of sinners? Well, the question is good. I'm glad you ask. And it can be answered affirmatively. For really, behind the whole book of Proverbs, do you know? You know, don't you? We must see Christ the Savior Himself. He is the greater than Solomon, and it's in Him that are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as Paul tells us in Colossians 2, verse 3. The truth is, dear congregation, and it's so good to be reminded of this, also this Lord's Day, that the Lord God has revealed in Christ, He cares so much for His people and their children as they grow up in their homes. And the Lord has designed and directed already in the home, ideally the places of the most dear and tender love and care, that parents teach and model the gospel of Jesus Christ and promote Him as only Savior and Lord in all our needs and ways. This is Jesus' desire and His revealed will for us and our children, that from the days of our infancy in Christian covenant homes, we teach and lead our little ones in the way of the Lord, showing them in spirit and truth praise for God triune as revealed in Christ the Savior, and praying that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior and Lord, and the sooner the better. So you see, the sermon is now in promotion and praise, really, of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of Jesus Christ of the gospel, the crucified and risen Savior, who is also the ultimate source and reservoir of wisdom for all, in all our ways, in all our families. This sermon in connection with family life, biblically speaking, is a gospel sermon too, in the sense of when trusting and following God's word, we learn, thank God, no matter our sins and sinfulness. Also in family life, when we repent, there's mercy and there's grace, there's forgiveness, there's renewal found in and through the Lord Jesus, truly and time and again. Yes, even for the worst of sinners and the most wayward from His teaching. Is not King Solomon himself, as so often, alas, sinful and wayward husband and father, such a prime example of the forgiving mercy of God? So let the most broken, sinful parent, or wayward husband or wife, or rebellious wicked son or daughter, repent and look to Jesus for cleansing and renewal, and you will not be put to shame. Only do not delay or vain excuses make for continuing in sinful ways and not turning from your sins and calling on the Savior even today. You know the full gospel and light of our text is that Jesus, we know here on earth, we know He was the perfect son of obedience in His family with His adopted father Joseph and His birth mother Mary, and with His six, at least, half-siblings, two sisters, four brothers. Yet how He suffered in His family life. And was He not taken and crucified on the cross as if He was the most disobedient and cursed rebel against all authority? But Jesus went to the cross, we know, as sin-bearer and Savior of sinners, and all in total submission and in willing, loving obedience to God, His dear Heavenly Father. That Father who had sent Him into this world to come and to pay the punishment for sin we sinful people deserve, even as he lived the perfect sinless life on behalf of his people, that he might so offer to God a perfect righteous sacrifice to save sinners like us. What reasons, therefore, to trust him and listen to him and to bring all to him also as it relates to family life. Saying that, we move to our third point and learn from the Bible, starting just with Proverbs 15:20, about family life, biblically speaking. What is next? God's divinely implied instruction for family, especially from the children towards their parents. Here again, what does our text say? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Isn't the clear implied instruction here, dear children and youth, how we are called to listen to our parents and to respect them in how they raise us and teach us in God's ways, and not to dishonor them, but to love and cherish them dearly. The proverb mentions living thus is living wisely in accordance with God's word and will. And this is what brings so much joy to our parents too. On the other hand, to ignore and rebel against your parents and to disregard and despise your parents and what they teach you and model you in line with God's word, you know, that's always so wrong before them. And it's such sinful disobedience before God. Do we each understand this, you and I? And do we take this most seriously? To disobey and dishonor our parents is to hurt them more than we can even ever know. And so doing, we grievously sin also against God in a way displeasing to him. Here, let me read another proverb. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Do you hear that? They're awful words from God. They tell of divine judgment on us, on you, if you will live disregarding and despising your parents, or living in unthankfulness to them and in shameful rebellion against them, especially if they sought to raise you in the way of the Lord. In honoring your parents, especially parents who have aimed to teach and guide you in God's ways, you and I bring them the greatest joy when receiving and believing their godly instruction and following their godly example. On the other hand, the most bitterest sorrow in this world of tears flows from parents' hearts when having a child or children who turn their backs on God and his word and his church and kingdom. There are mothers today who, far rather than having flowers from their son or daughter, would be much more happy and thankful if their loved ones only walked in the way of the Lord. There are fathers today who, sooner than receiving any gift in tribute to them as father, do much pray and value above all that their son or daughter live in the way of grace and truth. Well, this is clearly the implied instruction of our text too. Do you see it with me? Don't live nor go on in the way of unbelief and rebellion before God and his word, but trust and follow the Lord and his word and way. For that makes a glad father and a joyful mother, as nothing else can do. Now, we need the Holy Spirit for that. I'm not saying you can just do that on your own, but realize you can't do it on your own, and seek this Lord for his salvation. We read in Proverbs 1 verse 8, this earnest exhortation, thus, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. And likewise, Proverbs 23:22, hearken, listen to your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Well, are you and I so honoring our parents as children, as youth, and as older ones? Even, yes, with parents deceased by now, perhaps. Here, let me read what the Heidelberg Catechism teaches in explanation of the fifth commandment, to honor our parents. Question and answer 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day 39, responds to the question, what does God require in the fifth commandment? With this Bible-based answer. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity, or loyalty, to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Well, isn't such like Bible-based teaching on the fifth commandment the implied divinely given instruction of our text here in Proverbs 15:20? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Are you today making your parents, either or both, glad, following in God's ways, or more sad and grieving, with you living in sin and rebellion still against the Lord and your Christian godly upbringing? You know, even if you hadn't had, if you didn't have a Christian upbringing, and some of you haven't, yet you had committed loving parents, and can you not find reason still so to honor them as you might and should? The last question, however, brings out yet another clearly implied, divinely given instruction for family from our text. What is that? It is that in marriage, as husband and wife, we be equally yoked and committed as living Christians. How much loss and suffering has come in family life and among covenant and Christian families when people choose and decide not to marry in the Lord. You know, that results in so much confusion and mixed up upbringing. Do you see how our text implies both a father and mother who love the Lord and want to raise their family in God's ways? Family life, biblically speaking, calls for husband and wife being on the same page by God's grace, together, united in Christ and focused on the gospel way of life, looking unto Jesus and so leading their children, which God may be pleased to give them. You know, the history of Israel tells us of so much sin and heartache departing from the Lord in this matter. When people intermarried with the heathens and the unbelieving, oh, it's not that the Lord can't ever do a miracle and do wonders in those kinds of contexts, but it's not the way of the Lord. Paul says very clearly, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't fall into the trap under pressure. Remember the principle. Will you hear this teaching? It's taught in Genesis. Abram, so concerned that his son Isaac would not marry a heathen. We read that in Genesis 26. Esau married a heathen woman. And we read in Genesis 27 how it was such a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah that he did so. And they went out of their way to make sure Jacob would not marry a Canaanite. Think too of Samson. We read of Samson. He wanted a Philistine woman for his wife. And in Judges 14:13, his father and mother say to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. You see, sinful Samson just wouldn't listen to his godly parents and their instruction to him, giving them so much pain and sorrow and bringing on himself so much trouble and shame, never mind dishonor to God. So let no one here do so. Just hearing and learning from the scriptures and considering only our text, Proverbs 15:20. King Solomon himself, you know, he brought so much trouble in life and on Israel with his sinful disregard of God's precepts in regards to marriage. Not only with having multiple wives, but by becoming yoked with many a heathen woman, even just for political gain and privilege. Oh, congregation, the scriptures, God's Holy Spirit-inspired word, we learn here again, has so much to teach us also about family life, biblically speaking. Starting just from Proverbs 15:20. We have to conclude, but let me mention in concluding our fourth point yet, namely the real blessing in family life. Truly real blessing in family life for us comes in the way of following God's word and will. God will have his people not only know this, but to show this. And yes, following God's precepts, as also given in this sermon, it brings contentment and happiness and fulfillment and promise in life. Yes, also in marriage and family life. This is not to say there can't come many a trial and hardship still, but without a doubt, blessed is the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered and be happy all thy days. I have to leave it at that because of time, but I challenge you to pursue it further yourself. I encourage you to look just at verse 6, 16, 17, 25, and 27 of our text chapter, just Proverbs 15, maybe between church. Dear congregation, is it your conviction and testimony too that trusting and following the Lord, as revealed in Christ and his word, is never to our disadvantage, but only always to our advantage? Indeed, most assuredly so, both temporally speaking and eternally speaking. Isn't this the whole happy summary teaching of the book of Proverbs? The Proverbs are not to be interpreted particularly as promises, but as principles. Divinely given principles that God promises we never follow in vain. God triune, for his own namesake, for Jesus' sake, is a most gracious, faithful, covenant-keeping, merciful God in all generations of his repentant, trusting, obedient people. Well, may God bless his word then to us. God help us truly, one and all, to learn and to model at whatever stage of life we are in family life, even if you're single, still to be promoting how walking in God's ways brings real blessing in all of life. While not doing so brings us only trouble and woe. Happy the home when God is there and when his word of authority is authority and guide for each and all of us, whatever happens there. Oh, may we each and all experience this, and by God's grace be salt and light in our corrupted, blind, chaotic, ungodly, rebellious world of today, where ironically, yes, even on so-called Mother's Day and Father's Day, so many are actually grieving and hurting in more ways than we can ever know or say. How many opportunities, though, we have in this context to minister the gospel in our broken world of so much misery and sorrow because of sin and turning from God and his ways. So, will you hear and heed this sermon on family life, biblically speaking, starting just with Proverbs 15:20, and affirm and reflect the implied divinely given structure on family, and understanding with family, and instruction for family, and blessing in family? Even so, hear once more the word of the Lord in our text, and let it be a lamp to your feet, and a light upon your path, by God's grace, for your well-being, and for that of many others in your family and through your family. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Thus says the Lord to us today, on the Lord's Day, who sows out to have us go, everlasting love and peace and joy. Amen.